one come all to the sickest show on earth.
See, drug-crazed hippies.
See, mountains of gore.
See, the finest smut the world has to offer.
Here, two film nerds talk incessantly about it.
It's Something Weird This Way Comes.
With Mo.
And Rue.
Brought to you in stunning, monophonic low fidelity.
God, this ain't the best centennial anybody ever had!
And here are your hosts, Mo
and Rue. All right, God Monster of Indian Flats.
Oh, man.
What a film. You know, this movie had political intrigue. It had land claims. It was North versus South. It was demonic sheep and the ranchers and scientists who loved them.
Yeah. It was black versus white, too.
It was.
This movie had everything except for entertainment.
Oh, I thought it had entertainment. I actually thought it was quite enjoyable.
Yeah, let's get this out of the way right from the get go. I hated this movie, you know. And you know how any idea how hard it is for me, like Something Weird superfan number one, to say I hated this movie, but I really did. For the longest time, I declared this movie the worst movie I'd ever seen. Well, because I first saw it back in like 98 or 97 ish. And I hadn't seen a lot of really, really, really terrible movies at that point. So, you know, I didn't quite have the experience I do now. But I think, given what I know now, I would still rank this in the top 10 of worst movies I've ever seen.
I really didn't think it was that bad. I don't know. Maybe I just came into it so fresh. There's also, you know,
so fresh and so clean.
It's also, it was a lot like Beginning of the End, except obviously with land claims. And also, basically, it's a giant sheep movie, which is a monster sheep movie, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know, Night of the Lepus kind of thing, but with less terrorizing.
Did you just make a Night of the Lepus reference?
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyways, let's just jump right in. And let people know how great this film was. We start off immediately at the beginning, we get a very pretty musical opening and a lot of sheep. So we know that sheep.
I love there's no subtlety in this movie at all. Like the second the movie comes out, sheep.
Yeah,
she's right there, you know. and then of course you immediately followed up by a man in a wool vest. That wool vest was something else, though. I got to tell you, the costuming in this movie was really great, and like, I don't know if I want to use the term authentic, but entertaining at the very least.
Oh, it totally was entertaining, and considering a lot of this movie has to do with a historical society,
mm-hmm.
I have a strange feeling that they actually did approach some kind of historical society.
Oh yeah.
When they go into these sort of the fancy dress elements of the movie, where they're supposed to be dressing up nice to represent the history of the Comstock, which I had to look up. Comstock apparently was silver mines in Nevada.
Yeah.
The first silver mine, I guess. The Comstock Lode was the first silver mine. This movie takes place. Lode. And it's about sheep.
We're three. We're 3 years old. Load.
There'll be plenty more of that as we go along.
Yeah.
So we first get to see our sort of, the lovable hero, the lovable character. We later find out his name is Eddie. He's a sheep herder.
You said fucker wrong.
Oh, actually, get later into the storyline, I will admit, I thought that was part of the plot, but then
yeah.
Different direction.
Yeah, how do you have a movie about sheep and not make references to him fucking them?
I thought, and we'll talk about it when we get to it, I thought that he was the reason why this whole thing happened. until we got to the actual explanation.
Let's just get it out of the way. There is a this movie is about, well, you can't even say, because it's really only 20 minutes of the movie. The movie's really about, like, land claims and people trying to buy up an entire town, you know. That's really what the movie's about. But what the box tells you the movie is about a 8-foot-tall mutant sheep that's running terror. Now, if this entire movie had been about a mutant sheep terrorizing a town, it would have been the greatest movie ever made. But let's face facts. There's 20 minutes of this movie at best, you know, because the movie's only an hour and a half long, and it's barely an hour and a half long, and maybe, you know, the last 10 minutes are people talking, but the 20 minutes before that is sheep terrorization, you know, and it's not enough to save the movie, but it is definitely the most entertaining bit of the film.
The sheep doesn't even really come into it until about 70 minutes in. Well, it doesn't do anything.
You don't even see the sheep until, I think, I was keeping notes on, I was like live tweeting it on Twitter as I was watching, and I think it's like 56 minutes in before you actually see the full-grown sheep monster. You know, the sheep, the quote-unquote embryo,
yes,
comes into play real early in the film, within the first couple of minutes, and then is just kind of kept in this lab and dotted over, until all hell breaks loose. And it's just
sort of all hell breaks loose until shit goes down, I guess, yeah.
You know, but it's really just, like, it just takes too long. I mean, and I'm a patient man, you know?
I'm a patient man.
I am a patient man.
It took too long.
I can wait with the best of them, but for fuck's sake, I watch movies that the entire movie would have been over by the time the sheep actually showed up.
I guess that's true. I think the first, when I say 70 minutes, I think that's when we actually have the sheep outside and kind of in motion. It's really just in an incubator.
Yeah, it's from about the 65-minute mark to about the 82-minute mark.
Yeah.
The one sheep, I should say.
Yes. It's like the beast that killed women.
Is running amok. Yeah, exactly.
Sheep, yeah.
I mean, and they went out of their way to build this. Let's face it, the mutant sheep costume is outrageous.
That was amazing.
It is absolutely astounding. I mean, it's horrifying, but not in the right way. You know, for some reason, the sheep walks up on his hind legs, and because of the way the suit's made, he can only really take these little baby steps.
Yeah.
And one arm of the sheep is about 7 feet long. You know, realistically speaking, it's about 4 feet long, but it's really ridiculously long. And then the other paw is, the other front paw is, normal.
It kind of reminds me of, how people represent, Quasimodo and stuff, how he's got one big swinging arm.
Yeah, it is very Quasimodo, and the face is, the head is just utterly terrifying.
farm humor. Yeah, we should probably, let's throw in as many baw sequences, because every time they show the sheep, I think it's the same sheep noises that they
use. Yeah, it's just looped
yeah,
sheep.
Awesome. Oh, Mo, you're so bad.
Wow.
And everybody leaves.
I should have set my drum up for this.
Oh, let's do that next time. And I'll get somebody to play trombone.
Mwah, mwah.
The sad trombone.
Yeah. So for some reason, Eddie goes to like a casino.
Yeah, he goes to Reno or something to
yeah. And he's at like the dollar slots and he wins a bunch of money and he runs into a man by the name of Elbow Johnson.
Who's very charismatic, Elbow yeah. Johnson.
Well, I was saying it sounds like an unfortunate penis condition.
Oh
yeah, yeah.
I'm afraid you have elbow.
Like,
Johnson.
Oh no, you don't want to fuck around with him. He's got elbow jobs.
Oh,
you know, he'll take out your kidney.
Elbow Johnson, yeah, and he seems to be just a party man. He's got the ladies, and he essentially invites Eddie to it's Virginia Flat or Virginia City,
yeah,
to go continue the party. Yeah, just a little bit of trivia, what we used to do back in the day. I did some digging, because I thought Elbow Johnson was just too cool a name for somebody, so he had to have done something, like the actor had to have done something else.
Okay.
He was in Child's Play, and he played a garbage man, and then that brought to mind the fact that there's a garbage man in this movie, so I decided to look into the garbage man from this movie. And the okay. garbage man from this movie did the music for Ega.
Wow.
Yeah, so there you go. There's your ridiculous tangential trivia for the day.
Wow.
I got too excited over that. But, yes, Elbow Johnson takes Eddie to party a bit.
Yeah, partying is such a... A misnomer. I mean, he takes him to like an old timey saloon, you know, where there's like banjo music playing and a piano player who looks like Shane McGowan from the Pogues.
That's true. It was awesome banjo music. It was like a 3-piece banjo orchestra.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Along the way, actually, that's where we get kind of our introduction into the setting, because Elbow Johnson gives this little history lesson about the region.
Yeah.
He delivers this great line where he's like,
"Living in the past ain't so bad when you think about it."
Yep.
And it kind of leads us into the fact that these are a bunch of people that sort of are living back in the, I guess, the mid to late 19th century, kind of reviving it, actually. Revitalization. They want to bring it back.
Like the 90s, like the 90s with swing music.
Oh, totally. And they're doing a good job. And Eddie goes to celebrate at the saloon with his money. But a lady steals his money. He's totally plastered. He's at the saloon.
Yeah.
I almost forgot to mention the dog. We should bring it up. This is our introduction to the dog, too. The dog's sort of in the bar, and everybody seems to love the dog. sequence where the dog jumps up on the bar, and then a good, like, 30 seconds of this guy, like, petting the dog. And
there seems to be a lot of, like, wasted footage of the guy just petting the dog. There's a lot of weird scenes with the dog just there.
Yeah, and I think that I actually think the director or writer was trying to go somewhere with it, because the dog kind of comes into play later.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's almost like they were trying to play it up that the town loves this dog.
Well, the town does love the dog.
Of course they do. How could
he's the town dog.
He's the town dog. So he's it comes into play later. But yeah, we get an extended period with this dog with horrible dog noises played over it to make it sound like he's making noise in a bar. But
so yeah, so some lady steals Eddie's money, as we had said previously, and
yeah.
And Eddie's getting belligerent about it, and he wants his money back, and
hey, she stole my money.
I didn't take his money. You lying little creep, take your dirty paws off me.
Now hold on just a minute, kid. That's about enough now.
One of the I don't know if it was the sheriff or if it was like one of the security guys there or whatever, says to him, he goes, "You're 86th." I love that.
I think that was the sheriff.
Yeah, you go, "We don't treat a lady like that. We're civilized.
We don't tolerate anarchy."
And that's when we're also introduced to a character. We find out later his name is Philip. I really don't know what Philip's job is.
Philip seemed to be Mr. Silverdale's assistant.
Yeah,
you know,
that's sort of what I got too.
He was like, he's like the number one goon.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
He comes in, he delivers a great line, we don't tolerate anarchy. And he's really mellow and soft-spoken and kind of creepy in the way he delivers all his lines.
He's very Billy Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
He's I mean, until he falls apart at the end, but I mean, he's very kind of stoic.
Yes, stoic. There you go. That's the word I needed. Very stoic. Eddie gets the shit kicked out of him.
He really does.
And a couple of people observe this and seem kind of disturbed. We discover immediately afterwards that the person who sort of rescues Eddie and drives him away is a local, well, not a local, he's an anthropologist who has come to Virginia City because of the Indian Flats. And he wants to do sort of studies out there. We don't quite know why yet, but the anthropologist rescues Eddie and brings him back to his house.
Booyah.
Booyah. And Eddie loves his sheep.
Hey, how's all God's children tonight?
He does. Look, Eddie does what any good shepherd does. He curls up with the sheep and goes to bed. He literally does. He picks up a sheep and lays down in the hay and goes to bed. What a wonder.
After calling them God's creatures and petting them and telling him how much he loves them. He doesn't get to go to bed, though, does he?
Well, he does. He goes to bed.
No, he lays down and then he gets freaked out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so he has, like, this...
He wasn't asleep when they found him. He was hiding.
Yeah, he was hiding. He lay down and there's this sort of like flashing light. This weird sequence that I think is supposed to represent what he's seeing.
It's weird. Like there's a scene, like there's like bones hanging from the ceiling and there's some weird noise and scaring the sheep. Let's ruin the myth on this one. Clearly there are people holding on to sheep and just kind of like waving them through the air.
Legs are sticking out forward. They look very confused.
Yeah, they do look very confused. They're like, what's going on here? Like, we're just sheep.
It really has nothing to do with anything, because once you find out what happened, like why there's a commotion and what the result was. I'm not quite sure why there were bones in the air or...
Yeah, exactly.
Sheep.
It's not like, you know, I mean, I don't know if that was supposed to represent, like, Eddie's drunken state or whatever, but, but the fact is that, like, what happened was essentially natural, you know, if not a little creepy, but, I mean, it was a natural phenomenon. It wasn't anything, like, supernatural. It wasn't, you know, like, it wasn't some ghost sheep.
Yeah. You know how hard it was to not go do 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 when you said phenomenon?
Phenomenon. Oh, I get it. Manamana.
Manamana. Manamana. Manamana.
Do do do. Anyways.
Manamana. 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 We're running that kind of show now, huh?
Oh, yeah. There'll be an hour and a half of nothing. And in the end, we'll say the sheep won.
Let's just skip to the end where... I mean, you know, it's so crazy. Like, we could talk about every stupid little thing that happens until the monster shows up, and it doesn't even matter. Like, none of that shit even matters. Like, I mean, so let's just plow through that shit because it's
totally
so stupid. So I'm gonna kind of skip ahead a little bit because, you know, like, basically, like, we're introduced to the doctor. We're introduced to his assistant, whose name is Mariposa, which means butterfly in Spanish. And yeah.
Because we have a Mariposa sort of up here in a town called Aurelia, outside of Toronto. There's
one Mariposa in Canada.
Well, it's a cultural thing. There is this right. I'm not even going to get into it. But basically, this town sort of has been known secondarily as Mariposa because an American writer wrote a story about it, but changed the name of the town to Mariposa.
Nice.
So everybody calls it Mariposa. Anyways.
But anyway, so the doctor and Mariposa decide to check on Eddie in the morning. They find him. They can't find him, but, you know, they go to check on the sheep, and there he is. He's hiding with one of the sheep, and they find this, like, malformed sheep embryo, essentially. And the doctor's like, holy shit, let's get that back to the research facility.
My God. Mariposa, get his blanket. You've been in shock. You'll be okay. We'll take you up to the lab for a few days and look after you. Don't worry, Eddie. I think we've all stumbled onto an amazing event. Almost incredible from a scientific standpoint.
Very quickly, too, he was like, oh, this is... It's not that he goes, oh, there's a baby that's been born, and it's like...
Nope. He's like, let's go poke and prod and research this thing.
This is vital. He actually says something about how it's going to be vital to the scientific community.
This thing is going to be very important. People are going to want to know about malformed sheep embryos. You know, like, so, any other doctor would have been like, let's put that thing out of its misery.
Yeah, totally. But this guy...
Like, he's like, nope, we are totally going to study that thing.
Well, he's hyper-intelligent. He knows how important it is.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. So all the while, there's this man named Barnstable who is trying to essentially buy up the town. Like, he wants to buy all the mining rights. You know, and so he's talking to the guy who essentially runs the town. I don't know if he's, like, the mayor. Is he the mayor?
Yeah, I think he's the mayor.
His name is Silverdale.
Silverdale, yeah.
Yeah, and he basically tells him that the town's not for sale, and... You know, there's actually this really great, so whatever. I mean, like, basically, like, all you need to know is there's a man named Barnstable who wants to buy up the town, essentially, and basically, like, the guy who kind of runs everything doesn't want him to.
Yeah, the guy who runs everything, Silverdale, has devoted his life to restoring the town.
Yeah.
He's a member of a historical society, and he doesn't want anything. He wants the town to stay the way it is.
Yeah.
Tourists. Every year they come like locusts. I'd say good morning, Charles.
And we'll do anything to meet that end.
So it's sort of like we have two storylines running simultaneously.
Yeah, we do. Essentially there are. There's the sheep storyline, and then there's the buying up the town storyline, and they don't really crisscross until the end, where the monster sheep runs amok. But this is a hard movie to talk about, because it's like there's so much of this movie that goes on with nothing happening. You just want to be like, and then nothing happens for another 20 minutes, and then nothing happens for another 20 minutes.
There's a lot happening. It's not what you expect.
But there's nothing that's important to the storyline.
Because
ultimately, you know, I mean, like, we could go into every little stupid detail, but I don't want to. I just want to tell people, don't watch this fucking movie, because, you know, I mean, let's get facts straight. This movie, you know, like every part of this movie that doesn't involve a 9-foot mutant sheep is not interesting.
I found it kind of interesting. Maybe I just was coming at it from a different angle.
Were you high?
No, I was not. But I
because
like
I, because I can understand really enjoying this movie if I was like on some kind of drug, you know. And believe me, I know my drugs. I think maybe a little LSD. This would have been fun.
I suppose. I don't know. The monster, once it comes out at the end, might ruin you. But
the monster would be bad on acid.
Yeah. And that is the quote of the episode. So we jump back. It's sort of going back and forth between these two stories. Barnstable wants the town, and the doctor wants to study the sheep.
Yeah.
And the doctor has this... years ago, he found this unusual fossil imprint. It came from the mine, because it's a silver mine town.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this theory based upon this, which he calls the theory of cellular realignment.
Eddie, I want you to let us keep this hybrid organism here, in my private laboratory. If we can keep it alive, it may provide the proof I need for a certain theory of cellular realignment that I've been working on since I came up here.
Now, my question is, what is an anthropologist doing with an entire biology lab with an incubator for sheep? And I'm confused. I didn't think anthropology had anything to do with cells. I thought it was studying people and cultures. Regardless, the doctor is pretty obsessed with the sheep, and he thinks it has something to do with this.
I didn't take in the time to notice that the note that he was even an anthropologist. I must have missed that. But yeah, you're right.
He's a doctor of anthropology left Cambridge to.
So why the fuck does he even give a shit about the sheep?
That doesn't make any sense. If he was a biologist, it would make a lot of sense. He'd be like, "Oh, here's a missing link of sheep."
But missing sheep link.
So we're back to Barnstable. We have this sort of north versus south, black versus white thing.
It is kind of funny. Yeah, we've got this Yankee black guy.
Yeah,
who is Barnstable. Now, when you break that name down for a second, because it's funny. It's a funny name. His name is Barnstable.
Yes.
You know.
Silverdale.
Yeah, Silverdale, you know. At least the names were somewhat, kind of clever.
Yeah, they were pretty clever. Elbow Johnson, I mean,
Johnson is magnificent. That's the best. That's the best name ever put to film, as far as I'm concerned. You know, in fact, I want to write. I'm gonna start a short story when we're done with this. The Adventures of Albo Johnson.
Have him end up in a Reno casino. A Reno casino.
Wow.
So, a quick note about Silverdale. He's obsessed with the history of this town.
He is completely obsessed, and we learned that he will do anything for restoration.
Also, the sheriff plays a mean violin.
He does play a mean violin.
So, it's sort of interesting because there's like a lot of intrigue that starts going on.
I don't like the fact that you're using the term intrigue because I did not find any of this intriguing.
I'm trying to give the movie some credit.
You're trying to give the movie more credit than it deserves.
I'm giving it more credit than it deserves.
Absolutely.
Yes. Now, one of the next scenes is one of my favorite, because it just shows how deep this conspiracy is going. Yeah, I'm going this far with it. We end up on a garbage hill.
Look, this is God Monster of Indian Flats, not the Da Vinci Code.
Too bad. Da Vinci Code.
God Monster of Indian Flats, written by Dan Brown.
It's very deep. And I will also say, like, although it's kind of cheesy, the transitions between the two storylines, I found actually a little clever. They always found sort of interesting ways to sort of jump from the town storyline to the sheep storyline.
Sure. I'll give you that much.
We have this garbage hill, and just to show how much Silverdale and Philip, his goon, are obsessing about this doctor at the Indian Flats and what he's up to, Philip goes to the garbage man, who I previously noted wrote the music for EGA, and basically brings him in on a conspiracy. He wants the garbage man to keep an eye on all the garbage that comes from the doctor.
Sure can tell a lot about folks and the stuff they throw out into the garbage.
You better tell me damn fast, Mike.
Saw some funny looking stuff. Funny smelling, too. Wrapped up in a bunch of sheets. Must have been too soiled to send to the laundry.
Where'd it come from?
From docks. Out in Indian Flats.
Listen, Mike. From now on, I want a complete report on all waste from that laboratory. I've suspected for a long time that something perverse has been going on up there.
He's at it again.
Oh, he's up to something, all right. Get that box, hurry!
And while they're there, the doctor pulls up in a car and throws a big box off the edge of the...
Well, it's Mariposa who does that.
Mariposa, yeah, I guess, yeah. And she throws it off the hill, and, you know, like, the garbage is going to get away. Philip's like, quick, get it!
Get that box! It might run off!
And they just discover that there's some kind of... Everything sort of being eaten away at, this rubber gloves or whatever, being eaten away at by some kind of chemical or something.
Yeah.
And he finds that intriguing. Garbage Mike is his name. He has a great line. He kind of holds off on telling Philip what he knows. he does the whole, you know, sure can tell a lot about people by what they throw out kind of conversation. Which I thought was pretty funny. And they, yeah, basically they, he has the garbage man now keeping an eye out on the doctor.
It's so insane.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes with Eddie, who, if the listeners remember, is the sheep hand coming up to where...
you can say fucker. Go ahead.
I can't say that. I'm a furry. It's completely different. The sheriff, who, once again, loves the dog, because we have the dog sequence here, and he, like, pets the dog for about a minute and a half. Mariposa is coming because she wants to get bits and pieces for their equipment.
Yeah, she needs some, like, wire.
Yeah, wire and transistors, I think she says. And it's weird because all the stuff in little ways comes into play later in the movie, and that's why I kind of give it some credit, because even if they're kind of ridiculous, it seems like everything was pretty well thought out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the movie is very well planned out. I mean, in fact, the movie is pretty... is not badly acted either.
Yeah.
Or for that matter, I mean, it's not a badly made film. It's just a bad film. You know, like, this is actually, you know, like, we cover, on No Budget Nightmares, we covered a movie called Human Behavior.
Yeah.
And Human Behavior was, it's essentially the same thing. It's not a bad movie. And, you know, it's not technically a bad movie. I mean, it was well made. It's fairly well edited. You know, the acting's not terrible. It's just a bad movie. You know, it's just, there's no real... Like, you don't care about anybody. Like, their characters aren't developed enough that you give a shit about anyone. And it's essentially the same thing with this. Like, I don't give a shit about Barnstable. I don't give a shit about Silverdale. I don't give a shit about Eddie. I don't give a shit about Mariposa. You know, I don't give a fuck about the Doctor. All I'm waiting for is for a giant mutant sheep to attack. Because that's what I was promised on the box.
And it kind of, it does, too. It's like mutant sheep is on the move.
Yeah. And then what's worse is the movie's called God Monster of Indian Flats. So I am expecting a god monster. You know? Like, I am expecting something that can tear my fucking head off. And then I get this 8-foot-tall mutant sheep that has to take baby steps because it can't move its legs right. You know, or because the guy inside of it can't move his legs, right? It's just, I mean, just ultimately, it's just so bad. The only thing entertaining about this movie is just how ridiculous looking the sheep monster is. Because it should have been called Sheep Monster Indian Flats. Let's just get it straight. You know, there's nothing godlike about this thing. It doesn't have any kind of powers, you know?
It does, though. It shoots phosphorus gas.
It does shoot phosphorus gas.
You forgot about that part, didn't you?
I did forget about the gas.
Feeling a little embarrassed, aren't you?
No, not really. Because everything else I said, because the phosphorus gas is not supernatural. It's just something that occurred through its biology.
You okay there?
I'm just. This movie makes me so angry. Because when I bought the movie so many years ago, like, I expected, because let's get that out of the way first. Like, this wasn't one of the movies that Something Weird gave us. This is in my personal collection. You know, like I went out of my way to, you know, to get this to Rue so that we could cover this particular movie. And I'm almost kind of regretting it because it forced me to watch this thing again. And I'm never watching this movie again, ever. You know,
I thought it was pretty good. But anyways, we already know we're.
I'm gonna watch the 20 minutes where the monster shows up again. And if anybody ever wants, like, if anybody wants to watch this movie, you know, watch it. I mean, I'm sure, you know, like, look, you know, Frank Henenlotter wouldn't have picked this as one of his sexy shockers if he didn't think that it was worth it. I just can't stomach the movie.
This poor movie. Poor Eddie. Yeah. He worked so hard in this movie for you.
Fuck Eddie. Eddie's the most annoying character ever.
What do you mean he's the lovable sheep
herder? He's not lovable. He's annoying. He's an obnoxious character. Man, I sound like such a prick in this episode. You know, and I mean, normally I'm the guy who defends something weird to the death, and I definitely understand why they picked up this movie. You know, because look, yeah. when Frank Henenlotter tells you that he likes a movie, you pick it up because it's
yeah.
You know, because that dude has impeccable taste most of the time. I just think this is just a really fucking awful movie. All right, so let's get back into this. So I think I know what you're about to say. You're going to talk about the scene where they you know they collect up all this equipment from the sheriff,
yeah.
And the sheriff kind of like walks Mariposa back to her car, and he's like, "Oh, where's that guy you were hanging out with?" And Eddie like jumps up and makes like a scary face, and he makes a goofy face and scares the sheriff, who's like, "Oh, you stupid riding kids, you know."
Hey. Was that in the Jeep?
Oh, just a friend. Thanks again, Sheriff. I gotta get back now. The professor has a project tonight.
Looks like your friend took a hike down the canyon, Mariposa. Lousy damn weird kid. You got no respect, you hear me? I'm gonna get you for this. You little bastard. You weirdo.
I couldn't help myself, Mariposa. He thinks he's such a big deal. Walking around like he's the head of the FBI or something. He'd like to bug the whole town.
You're right, Eddie.
And it's weird because, like, Eddie doesn't give it up. Like, he just keeps on making a face and making the noise.
Yeah.
And then as they're driving away, one of my favorite scenes in this whole movie is they're driving away. And Eddie is like a 5-year-old kid going on about why he did it. He's like, "Oh, I just wanted to scare him. Oh, you know, he thinks he owns the place. He thinks he's the FBI." And he does this long rant.
Yeah, he's Calvin.
And at the very end of it, Mariposa just goes, "Yeah, you're right, Eddie." Like she's like patronizing him. I thought it was pretty
funny.
You're
right, Eddie. He is a piece of shit. So then the two of them kind of like find themselves in a graveyard for some reason, and there's this kind of creepy woman hiding behind a gravestone. And here's actually where the stories kind of start to intermingle. The woman hiding behind the gravestone, we find out her name is Madame Alta.
Yes.
And she's the town psychic.
Clairvoyant.
Whatever. And so the two of them, like Eddie and Mariposa, they start kind of like making out. And I guess it's implied that they have sex, and it's great because Madame Alta like watches them the whole time, you know.
Yeah, and it came out of nowhere too. They were just like talking, and Eddie's like, "Oh, you know, I've had a tough life." And she's like, "Oh, that's too bad."
it's like
prior to that scene that. Eddie and Mariposa would even.
Yeah, there's no like seduction or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, yeah, it's been pretty rough. You know, just, and they just attach faces like they're like you're playing with like two Leech Man toys from like He-Man guys when you were a kid. And you just stand together.
Now I want to find that. I bet you if you went online, you could find a picture of that.
Sure.
Somebody did it. After a random jump back to the doctor studying the sheep, because really that's all he's doing. He just kind of talks about the sheep and studies the sheep.
Yeah, every time you cut back to the doctor, he's talking about or studying the sheep.
Yeah,
particular case, he goes into the mines at this point. You know, like he's in the mines and he finds like a skull of, I'm assuming, a sheep. And this gas starts pouring out, and he manages to get him and Mariposa out of there before either one of them die. But of course, this makes him realize, you know, what's going on, that, you know, that the mine is creating this phosphorus gas, and it must have gotten into the sheep, you know, who passed this embryo, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but I guess like in the world.
Yeah, physiologically speaking, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. But that's enough of dealing with the sheep back to the real story.
Yeah, we get back and there's like a parade going on.
Like, yeah, it's like a festival.
It's the saddest fucking parade I've ever seen. But it makes me realize that there must have been a parade actually going on, like when they were filming, because it just seems like a huge event to set up a parade just to film, you know?
Yeah. Like, well, they totally just went to like a historical society parade.
And I love the fact that there's a shooting there's shooting galleries there where they're shooting real fucking guns.
Yeah, but like, and everybody's just standing around each other.
And it's just out in the open. Like, anybody could have walked behind it at any time and, you know, just bang, bang, bang. And they're just shooting the shit out of these bottles, you know? From, like, ridiculously close, like, you know, spaces, too. Like, I think they were, like, 10 feet away shooting these bottles, you know? Like, I think that's considered point-blank range. You know? And so Barnstable, he's playing around. He's shooting the... You know, he's shooting the bottles, and the sheriff has the dog come over, and he has the dog play dead.
Yeah.
You know, and so Barnstable's shooting the shooting the bottles, and the sheriff's like, "You killed my dog!" You know?
Dead dog. Stay there.
That's it.
Shot my dog!
Yeah.
Murderer! Yeah. You dog killer! Yeah.
It's such an awkward moment because basically the whole town turns against Barnstable. He's standing there not just with a gun but with a flask.
Yeah. He's drunk. He's got a gun, you know. And he quote unquote shot the dog. First, there's no blood anywhere. Like, that would have been the first thing I would have said. I'd been like, "Where's the blood? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't shoot any fucking dog. Like, there's no blood on the fucking thing, you know?"
Shot my dog.
And you've seen a dog play dead. Their eyes are open, and usually they're still looking around.
And they're breathing.
They're breathing, yeah. Maybe it's just a really good dog.
Shot my dog.
I guess so. He's a fine actor. Give that dog the Academy Award.
Oh, totally.
But, the Academy Arf Ward. Man. I apologize for that joke, people.
That's good.
But they hold a funeral. They hold a funeral for this fake dead dog.
Yes, and that's when the sheriff kind of lets everybody else in on it.
Yeah, for some reason
they didn't know.
Yeah, the coffin's empty. The dog is really with his cousin, but Barnstable decides he's going to visit a bar and have a beer and a shot. And
well, after we have a montage sequence just prior to this, because they basically told. Barnstable originally had said, "I'm going to get the land anyways, just going door to door." And after the dog incident, the mayor's like, "You know, you best leave. You're not going to have any luck around here."
Nobody likes you.
He kind of expected him, like, you know, because of the garb that they're wearing and because of, like, the time period that they're supposed to be sort of, like, representing. Like, you almost expect him to go, like, you know, like, "Nobody's going to help you, you nigger," you know? I was actually expecting, like, they called him a Yankee all the time, you know? I was really expecting a lot more, like, you know, like, racial slurring.
But there wasn't. It was like he was
not. It was everybody was like completely
just Yankee. Yeah. No, so he was the Yankee in the South kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But he did a quick montage with really weird out of tune piano ragtime music in the background of him going door to door, and everybody like slamming the door in his face. And like he's totally hated in the town. I don't understand why he's still walking around.
Well, he's still walking around because he wants. You know, he knows that those silver mines are, pardon the pun, a gold mine.
Yes.
And, and he still wants the rights to mine there, you know?
Yeah. So, Barnstable's wandering around, getting shut down, and back to the sheep. So this is actually where they kind of let us know that it had something to do with gas?
With the phosphorus gas getting into the system of the sheep
who gave birth to a god monster. And back to the festival. So that was a nice aside.
Yeah.
There's an eating contest going on. Kids are eating pies.
Here's the part that I don't get. If the entire town hates Barnstable, and yet he somehow manages to find a group of kids who are willing to toss their pies that they're supposed to be eating for an eating contest at Phil.
And on top of that, the festival was canceled in the last scene by the mayor, I thought. He was basically like, festival's over, thank you for understanding. And it seemed that the death of the dog was enough to end the whole thing. They're all celebrating the next day.
This Yankee black man just shot the town hero dog, so we're going to cancel this festival.
That's basically what I got out
except,
of that scene.
Except the pie-eating contest, which is... which is a matter of town importance, and, you know, there's a rivalry from last year. We need to know if Fat Johnny can keep his crown.
Yes.
I would just assume that one of the guys is named Fat Johnny, because, look, if you're having a pie-eating contest and there ain't a Fat Johnny involved... Oh, man.
So, continuing with the intrigue... because I know you like that word too. Philip, who has just been pied, frames Barnstable. Basically, they get drunk. He invites Barnstable out. He gets into a fight with Barnstable. Barnstable, I think, does he knock him unconscious or does he pass out?
I believe Phil knocks Barnstable out.
And then shoots himself
and then puts the gun in Barnstable's hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's
where the storylines start to kind of converge a little bit, because, and I'm just going to skip ahead a little bit here, because there's really nothing of any importance that happens here. You know, Barnstable is in jail at this point. He ends up getting broken out of jail, and he takes off, and he's with Mariposa, right?
I think it's Mariposa, yeah.
Yeah, and they bring him back to Indian Flats. So Phil starts a posse, and, you know, they're going to go lynch that, you know?
Yeah.
And I apologize for my racial language today.
You're just an angry man today.
But I'm just saying, that's essentially, I mean, you can tell that's what they're thinking, you know? It's just nobody, like, that's what annoyed me the most, is nobody's saying what you can tell they're thinking, you know?
Yeah.
And they're gonna go lynch Barnstable, and of course he's at Indian Flats, and there's an experiment about to start, and all hell breaks loose, and like the power ends up getting cut there, which stops the what they were doing is they were inhibiting the creature from growing, and now that they can't do that, it starts to kind of go out of control.
Yeah.
And, meanwhile, the sheriff is eating a giant steak.
Yeah, and this great scene where he's eating
a giant steak. I mean, the thing's like, steak. It's the size of a cow. It's gigantic.
And meanwhile, Barnstable's in the jail behind him.
He's like singing in the jail.
Singing. He's singing like a spiritual, but he's also, I think at this point, he's managed to get his shirt off.
Yeah.
Or something. He's just basically shirtless in a jail cell singing a spiritual at the top of his lungs while the sheriff turns up the radio trying to drown him out.
Yeah, yeah.
In the end, the lynch mob comes in. This is where he escapes from the lynch mob.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Mariposa and him get away, and they're going to try to smoke them out of the doctor's lab. So they start shooting gas at the lab.
Great.
But everybody gets out, including the monster.
I love how everybody is like, I mean, Silverdale, the doctor, everybody's like, look, we don't want the military, we're going to handle this ourselves.
Yeah.
You know.
But that happens in that doesn't happen in every movie. In the beginning of the end, they brought in the army.
Oh, they brought the army in quick.
Yeah. There's a great line after they've run away. Mariposa's running away, and she sort of ended up separated from the group.
Yeah.
But she runs into... the God Monster.
Oh, you won't hurt me, will you? What is it? Don't be frightened. I've been following you all the way from the glory hole.
Yeah, she starts helping it, and it's like,
yeah,
you know,
it's like dancing.
Yeah, like, and it's you know, it's being good, so to speak.
Yeah,
totally. It's just hanging out with her, you know, it's following her, and then
did you catch her great line?
Yeah, and then, huh?
Did you catch her great line?
What did she say?
She said, she told him, you know, it's okay, don't be afraid, and then in a calming voice she says, I've been following you all the way from the glory hole. They'd never mentioned a glory hole prior to this scene, so.
Hey, look, there's got to be a male restroom somewhere. But yeah, so stupid Eddie shows up, and Eddie starts fucking attacking it, and
yeah, he throws a rock at it.
Yeah, and all hell starts to break loose again. And they end up evacuating the town, and they declare martial law, and you know, it's so crazy. Like they're gonna catch it and use it as like a freak show attraction to raise money, you know, to open up the railroad again. man.
So the beast is now terrorizing. We're about 80 minutes in, I think, at this point, between 70 and 80 minutes
in.
So the actual terrorizing is happening, but...
This is actually... My favorite scene happens right now in the movie where there's a bunch of kids. Like they're having a picnic, you know? Like they're talking. And the kids talking is probably the best part of the entire movie. We're like...
They think there's a monster around here.
Do you believe that? You believe in the monsters?
I don't believe there's a monster in the
field. Stupid adults
believe it.
Yeah.
These are good hot dogs.
Everybody
does. Dum-dum believes in monsters.
Yeah.
Adults
I don't believe in monsters.
Adults are stupid, you know?
And meanwhile, the
monster's creeping up behind them. You know, and it's just funny because I think they're probably told to, you know, to keep up the act until the monster shows up at them, you know? And because the monster can only take these tiny little baby steps, it takes way longer than it should have for the monster to show up to them. So they have to, like, repeat themselves, like, 3 or 4 times, you know? Where they're like, oh, these adults, they're so stupid. Stupid adults. Adults are dumb, you know? And they're just going on and on and on about how stupid adults are because adults believe in monsters, you know? And then the monster shows up and it's like, ah! Everybody takes off.
They'll run into, like, a trailer or something like that to try to get away.
Yeah. But the monster leaves him alone. He leaves, you know.
Yeah.
He just wants to be loved.
Well, I think so. He goes after that guy at the gas station, and I'm pretty sure he just wanted love there, but he ended up blowing up the gas station.
I love that. Yeah, because for some reason he has a blowtorch.
Yes.
You know, like one of those little like handheld blowtorches. For some reason, he must have locked it in the on position. because you can't just turn it on. The second you take your finger off, it stops. So you have to lock it into the on position. And he throws it at the beast. You know, because last time I checked, blowtorches are highly effective thrown weapons, you know. And, of course, it lands in a puddle of gas.
Yeah.
And blows the whole place up.
And that's basically the terrorizing. I think that's the end of it. He scares some kids, and an idiot blows up a gas station.
Yeah, and then there's this great scene. Yeah, exactly. Really, the only thing that gets terrorized from the monster is that group of kids.
Yes.
You know, because the gas station is blown up because of the stupid human, not because of the monster. But then there's this really great scene of the monster trying to climb this, like, little hill. And, like, it's so, like, laborious, you know, like he's having such a hard time, like, kind of like, you know, like, kind of like bunny hopping up this hill, because he can't walk up it. He has to, like, kind of, like, hop up it. It's almost like trying to watch, like, RoboCop, you know, like climb a hill, you know?
I love the sheep. He's awesome.
Dead or alive, I'm reaching this peak, you know? Yes, they find the monster at the top of the hill, and they kind of circle him on horses, you know, and there's not a single moment ever where this monster's a threat, just for the record, you know, like the only thing this monster can do, and it's so easily, you know, defended against, is he can spew the gas, you know.
Yes.
Well, it's very easy to defend against that. So they, of course, they capture it and sedate it, and, We cut to, and by the way, that's it. That's the monster.
Took them about 40 seconds to subdue.
Yeah, it took maybe 10 minutes to find and capture the monster. Like, and I'm assuming this is like in real time, you know, like it really, and these are guys on horseback, you know, not even like, there are no cars, there's no planes, there's no nothing. They find the monster on fucking horseback, you know, they subdue him with lassos. And really, it takes the doctor about 2 seconds to get in there with a sedative and to put him out.
Yeah.
So to call this thing a god monster is a little bit of a misnomer, you know. You know.
Maybe the god monster was us.
Pensive beard stroke. Yeah. So Silverdale and Barnstable are driving in a car, and Silverdale tells him that he was actually able to buy up all of the mining interests for the purposes of conservation, you know.
Yes.
But then he tells him that he sold it all to some company.
It's the same company that Barnstable was working for.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. So he sells it to this company, you know, of course, on his own terms.
Yes.
You know.
And he took advantage of the sort of, I guess, the fact that Barnstable had made a fool of himself with all this craziness, and that's how he managed to sort of manipulate it so it went into his...
I kind of like how quickly word travels in this town, you know, because it's almost like a second later that they're having like this grand announcement that they caught the monster, and everybody's there.
Like
the whole town is there, you know, and Eddie and Mariposa and the doctors. I don't think the doctor's there, but yeah, the doctor's there. They're all yelling that it's all lies, you know. And so he decides to kind of like cull the audience a little bit by revealing the monster. And of course, this drives the town wild.
Yeah, they go nuts.
They go nuts and they start attacking the creature, you know, and they roll. They end up rolling the car down a hill where it explodes.
Yes.
You know, I mean, just boom, you know. So the monster's dead.
Monster's dead. Actually, also, Philip is dead because he had this, like, gunfight.
Yeah, they took him out.
Like, shot.
And, like, Silverdale's, like, screaming. And it's like, it's so great. He's like, make them pay. Make them all pay. You know, and he's like, he's just going nuts.
He went totally nuts. He was laughing. He just started, like, laughing at the top of his lungs.
He starts going crazy.
You
know,
yeah.
You know, I mean, and this almost, like, hit, like, Silverdale's, like, insane speech at the end almost makes up for, like, the first 60 minutes of the film, because it's so insane and so over the top that it is actually very enjoyable. It's just, I hate the fact that it takes that long to get to this, because I love the end of this movie. I really do. I love the last half hour of this movie, but it's the 60 minutes getting to this point that is so goddamn painful.
But none of this would have made sense. All the complications, conflict.
I don't need 500 points of intrigue here. I just need a monster running amok on a town. You know, that should have been the entire movie, and I would have been happy. I would have been the happiest man in the world.
But you might still get it, because in the final scene, the monster is...
They do kind of set it up for a sequel that never really happens.
Well, it could still. You never know. Maybe this podcast will spearhead. So the monster basically, while burning, all that gas, the yellow gas, phosphorus gas, starts sort of floating off of him. And the final scene is that gas kind of floating among a herd of sheep, and we have the occasional superimposed image of the beast's face that pops up like once. So we know that basically this
will happen again.
Yes, yeah. This will
And then the credits roll, the end. Movie is done.
I liked it.
It's such an unnecessarily, like this whole entire movie could have been done in a half an hour. Like, this would have been an awesome short film.
I suppose, but then what would we have done with Garbage Mike and with Mariposa? And I guess Mariposa would have still been there.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'd have to cut out a lot of characters.
Fine.
It would just basically be the Doctor, Mariposa, I guess we'd have to have Silverdale freaking out at the end. So,
Silverdale would have to be there. Barnstable would have to be there. I mean, hell, you could even have Phil there. But I mean, like, it's just like there's just so much of this movie that does that didn't need to take place. You know, man. You know, I really love Something Weird, but this one I just can't get behind.
I'll be the supporter then. I'll say that I thought it was interesting, but if you're going into it for the sole purpose of watching giant sheep,
yeah, just be warned.
You'll be warned. You know what? Just I'll use this. Here's my ready for my segue. If you want to see the giant sheep, you can always just go to our Facebook page. Where there will be snapshots, at which point you've seen the giant sheep of the movie.
And if you want to watch a real, like, awesome killer sheep movie, there's a, I don't know if it's Australian, or I think it's from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. I think it's a Kiwi film called Black Sheep.
Black Sheep, yeah.
That movie's awesome. That movie's about killer sheep, and it's amazing.
So there is an alternative to God Monster of Indian Flats.
Oh yeah, yeah.
For it,
I think there might even be a Were Sheep film out there somewhere.
I've heard of that actually. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think I've ever seen it. But Black Sheep is an incredible film. So if you want to watch a movie that's almost solely about killer sheep, then that's totally the one worth watching.
I agree. And any real any monster animal movie, I will always get behind. So definitely let us know if you find another killer sheep movie, because I will want to see it. And I enjoy God Monster, so I'll add it to my collection of good sheep movies.
You have a collection of good sheep movies?
I will. It's gonna start.
Well, you just started it.
Yes.
All right. So on that note, do we have anybody we want to plug today?
I'm pretty good. I do have one last bit of trivia that this is the one to end on. I think you'll love it.
Sure.
Mariposa was married to Al Lewis of Grandpa Munster fame.
Nice.
There you go. So something good came out of God Monster. As for shout-outs, just shout-out to Second Unit Podcast Crew and to all the fine podcasters out there. I'd actually like to do a shout-out to people who will never hear it, but one of my favorite podcasts of all time, Hometown Tales, is back after like 6 months of being gone. So just a big hearty thank you out to them. So I like them. They're good.
Well, if you ever want them to hear that, you should probably post it on their message board or something.
That's
a good point. Like, hey, you know, we shout out to you guys on this show. You know, actually, the Second Unit has a couple of new shows. We dropped a couple and picked a couple up. Like the Cult Couch isn't really involved with us anymore. I mean, really, only because they haven't put out a new. I mean, they did 3 episodes and then they didn't really do anything beyond that. If they start doing new episodes again, I mean, we'll have them back on. They
ultimatum.
You know, yeah, not really.
I'm joking.
You know, but now we have No Budget Nightmares. I think we said that last episode is now officially part of Second Unit, and there is a new show, which is sort of like John from After Movie Diners. His like he started a commentaries show with a man by the name of Paul Croson, who is a very funny dude, and it's called what is it called? I feel like such an asshole for not knowing this off the top of my head, but I'll find it quick enough.
Edit.
It's called Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid Commentaries.
How could you forget that?
I forgot if it was Dr. Kick-Ass or Dr. Action. And when me and John talk about it, I always come up with different names for it. So like I'll say like, you know, so how's Dr. Action and the Masturbatory Kid, or you know, or how's Dr. Foot Fungus, and you know, whatever. I never call it by its real name. Because I'm an asshole.
Well, there you go. And yeah, you
yeah, I am an asshole.
Usually you're very cuddly alongside me, but this movie brought out the bad in you.
Sounds like a great place to end.
Yeah, we'll put that to bed. We'll put the God Monster to sleep next to Eddie.
Oh yeah. Booyah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll just ramble there and then talk to you later. Bye.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Na-na-na-na. Manamana. 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 Manamana.
Network. Find all of our shows at 2upn.blogspot.com or on our Facebook under the Second Unit Podcast Network. Our fantastic list of shows include
Drunk on VHS,
We Came from the Basement,
The After Movie Diner,
Something Weird This Way Comes with Rue and Mo,
No Budget Nightmares,
and Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid Commentaries. The Second Unit Podcast Network, bringing you the action, leaving the boring stuff to the other guys. Oh my God, there's been a Lou Diamond Phillips pileup on the highway!
Thanks everyone for listening to Something Weird This Way Comes. If you enjoyed anything you heard tonight, you can purchase all movies, intermission clips, or commercials directly from Something Weird at somethingweird.com. You can follow Something Weird on Twitter at SWVOnline. Let us know what you thought of tonight's episode either on our Facebook page, facebook.com/somethingweirdpodcast, or email us at somethingweirdthiswaycomes@gmail.com. On behalf of that cuddly Canadian Rue, this is Mo. Good night, everybody.
Oh, God, this ain't the best centennial anybody ever had.
Brought to you in stunning monophonic low fidelity. We'll be right back.